Well, good morning, everyone. Nice to see all of you here. Those of you that are at home watching, we appreciate you taking the time to tune in. I would like to start this morning by recognizing some folks that are here. First of all, our good friend Bob from Pearson. Thank you for coming. My cousin Jeff, all the way from Bozeman, Montana. Yeah. Came a long way to hear a good sermon, didn't he? And then it's a special honor to have my children here today. My son-in-law and my grandson, Amber and Rachel, are here today. And Mark, my son-in-law, and Wyatt, our grandson. I don't know if any of you saw them when they were standing up, but they come from the land of the little people. So anyways, we're glad to have them here. Now, I've always been told, I learned this in Bible school, that there's only two things that can mess up a service. One is the devil, and the other one is the preacher's kids. And we've pretty much got the devil out of here, so you two behave, okay? So, all right. So this morning, I want to start off, and I've got a pastoral word for you today. At least the first part is a pastoral word. In the days that we're living right now, it's very important for us to keep our eyes on the Lord. We've sung about that and heard about it. And we've been talking about Thanksgiving. It's very, very important that you remain thankful for everything that's going on. Now, you might say, well, I really, you don't know my life, and so you really don't know whether I've got something to be thankful for or not. And I gave you four things a few weeks ago. I want to go over them again real quickly with you. Four things that everybody that's born again can be thankful for. Number one is the blood of Jesus. Thank God, no matter what's going on in your life, we can always be thankful that God has provided a way for us to escape the flames of hell, to have our bodies healed, our minds healed. We've got, everybody that's born again has something they can be thankful for. And what I'm recommending is that when everything looks bleak and when everything does not look bleak, we give God thanks. We're a few days away from Thanksgiving. I really believe that to the born again child of God, every day ought to be a day of thanksgiving. So number one, we can always thank God for the blood of Jesus. Number two, we can always thank God for the Holy Spirit. Had Jesus not died, God would not have been able to cause the Spirit of God to descend on us. We have a comforter and a helper. As a matter of fact, I decided I would teach you a chorus very quickly, if you don't mind. Is that all right with everybody? It goes like, I sing it to myself all the time. Here's how it goes. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Listen to this now. He's my comforter, my helper. On him I do depend. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Now, can you sing it with me? It's not hard, and this will help you remain thankful during times of trouble. Now, when I do it with myself, I always sing both parts. So I sing it like this. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost, for the Holy Ghost. He's my comforter, my helper. On him I do depend. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. All right, now you got a chorus that when things are really looking bleak, you can sing a chorus of thanksgiving, and it will remind you he's your helper, he's your comforter, and you can depend on him. Amen? So we've got the blood of Jesus, we've got the Holy Spirit. Number three, the fact that Jesus rent the veil When he died, that means he made prayer available to us. We don't have to wait once a year for somebody to go in and take our needs to God, but if you wake up at 2 a.m. depressed, you can talk to God. If you wake up or if you are working in the middle of the afternoon and you've got a situation, you can talk to God. And I'll tell you something, as you become thankful and as you pray, you will find yourself doing this more and more often. I'm sure some of you right now are thinking, well, you walk around praying all day long. You know, and I got to tell you the truth, I actually do. I'm having a conversation with God all day long. And listen, prayer is not just bringing your stuff to God, but it's listening and let Him speak back to you. And God will do that. Some of you don't realize that, but God will speak back to you if you talk back to Him. So we've got the blood of Jesus we can be thankful for. We've got the Holy Spirit we can be thankful for. We've got the fact that He rent the veil. We can be thankful for that. And finally, we've got the Word of God. Thank God for His Word. And thank God for the promise of His Word, that when you pray the Word of God, He has told us in 1 John 5:14-15, that if you ask in accordance with my will, you know you have what you ask because you know that I have heard you. So when you are praying in the will of God, it's a done deal if you will continue to believe and not give up. Now, what I've discovered, and you might as well, is when you are being thankful, when you're in the mode of being thankful, you'll find yourself naturally becoming thankful more often and more often. So getting started is the main thing. Once you get started, now this is where my Pentecostal background comes in, you will discover that it's hard to keep these praises on the inside of you. Oh, so a story comes to my mind. There was an older lady who was a born-again child of God, and she ran out of food. So she decided to do what I'm talking about right now. She decided that she would start praising God. And she praised, and the more she praised, the louder she got. And she got so loud, and this would go on day and night. And there was a guy living beside her that did not necessarily appreciate her praises. And so finally, he went over to her door and he said, I want you to shut that noise up. You wake me up in the middle of the night. I hear you screaming all day long. I know you need food, but can you keep it down a little bit? Well, kind of like blind Bartimaeus. The more they told him to shut up, the more he got loud. And that's not a bad idea for us. The more pressure you're under, the louder you ought to get, or at least the more expressive you ought to become. And I prophesied before over this church here that when we get full of the Holy Ghost, this place is going to be a house of praise that will attract people from all over. And this sanctuary will be filled with praises for God. So anyways, this lady, she kept on praising. And finally, the guy next door decided, I'm just going to go buy her some groceries to shut her up. So we went and bought a carload of groceries and brought it over and beat on her door. She was in there praising. She stopped praising, opened the door, and she looked at him. He said, I brought you a bunch of groceries just to get you to shut up. And he said, now that I give you this food, I want you to knock it off. And she said, I'm going to have to praise God even more now, number one, because he gave me the food, and number two, because he used the devil to deliver it. So we've got a reason we can praise, and we've got a reason to be thankful at all times. And I don't know what you're going through right now. You don't know what I'm going through, but we have got a reason to praise. Now, in the middle of your praise, you might find yourself getting to a spot where you're praising, but you're also praying. And the more you pray and the more you praise, the further down the drain the situation seems to go. And therefore, discouragement can have an opportunity to set in. Is anybody here like that? I've been praying and praying, and I'll tell you, my wife and myself, we've got a couple situations right now where we've been praying for years, and sometimes it advances, and a lot of times it goes back. But I want you to write a verse down, Psalm 51 and verse number 12. And it says this, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." Now listen. And then he goes on to say, "And create in me a willing spirit to sustain me." Now let me read that for you again. "Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and create in me," or grant me, "a willing spirit to sustain me." And I want you to focus on those last three words, the willing spirit to sustain you. God will give you that willing spirit if you will ask him. The willing spirit will hold you during the difficult times. The willing spirit will cause praise to come up on you on the inside, whether you feel like it or not. And so I encourage you to pray that psalm, Psalm 51 and verse 12, "God grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." The reason we don't see victory is because we give up. And that's true in any area of life. The reason we don't see victory is because we give up. Now, as I close off this part of this, I want to read for you refer to James chapter 5. And mark this down, please, verses 16 and 18. And it's the back end of that text. The back end of that text says this: "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And let me break that verse down for you just a little bit. The effectual, fervent prayer. Defined this way: the prayer that is continuous, the prayer that is heartfelt, the prayer that is consistent. It says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, we're going to come back to that in just a second, avails much, produces much, will produce a long-lasting effect. So your consistent, heartfelt prayer will eventually produce more than you could ever believe God for, because God's in control of the situation. Any situation that is prayed about and offered praise for is in the hands of God, and the enemy cannot do one thing about it. Can I say that for you again? Any item, any subject, any tribulation, any matter that you are going through, if it's committed to God in prayer and praise is offered up as an incense to God, that situation is in the hands of God, and there's not one thing in this world that the devil can do about it. Let's talk about the righteous man aspect of this. Because I would imagine there are some of you sitting here today saying, "Well, you know, that sounds good for these other people. They're real spiritual." And maybe some people at home are, you had a bad night last night, went out and did something stupid, and now you feel like there's no way God's going to listen to me. Let me tell you about what righteous means. Righteous means to be declared righteous by a judge whether you are guilty or not. When you walk into a courtroom and there's a judge standing there and you've got a list of charges as long as your arm, and the judge drops his gavel and he says, innocent, you are declared innocent. When you bring your sins to God and confess them, no matter what you've done, God says, if you make a confession in faith believing, God drops his gavel and he says, you are innocent or you are righteous. And once God declares you righteous, you have the ability to activate James chapter 5 in your life. If you were out doing something dumb last night and you offer up heartfelt repentance this morning and you say, God, I mean this, with your help, I'm going to turn from this. God drops his gavel and he says, you are innocent. I pronounce you guilty. And at that very moment, you can bring every need that you have to God and say, God, I've got to drop this with you. And God says, if you continue to ask and continue to give thanks, I will give you the things that you're asking. Now, that's not my word. That's what God says in his word. So, that's my pastoral word for you now. Now I want to switch gears and go into what, by content definition, we would describe an apostolic word. Now, what does that mean? Well, number one, apostles were used to establish churches. And the way that churches got established was by somebody being bold and being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and speaking forth a word that might not necessarily have been something that people wanted to hear, but they spoke it anyways under the authority of God. So I want to venture into some things this morning with you. I've got a number of quotes here that I want to read, so I made some notes so I didn't leave anything out. The apostolic word this morning is in an attempt to condition the church, that is those of us that are here and those that are watching, condition us for what God has ahead in the future and to be prepared for what man has designed. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. God has a future for us. Man has a plan. I don't know if you are like I am, but when all this coronavirus stuff first started and then the election heated up, I was glued to Fox News and I couldn't take my... And I'll tell you the truth, I got sick of it. I got sick of watching it. Every other day was a different story, or they were repeating the same old thing over and over again. I got tired of watching it, and I suddenly realized this is in an attempt to get the child of God, eyes off of the reality of what's going on and get us focused on the earth. What we as children of God need to do is stop looking at the playing field and start looking at where reality really is. You see, what's going on down here where you and I can see is just the enemy, I'm going to say it like it is, the enemy moving a bunch of chess players around, but where the real reality is in the heaven above them, and that's what I'm going to suggest to you this morning, that we as children of God get our eyes on the second heaven and forget the playing field, but stare into the eyes of God. 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha had an army coming in against them. He had an army coming in and he was staying there with his servant. And his servant got very concerned and very nervous because of what was going on. And the servant came back to Elisha and he said, I don't know what to do here. And Elisha said, look to the skies above. Look above what's going on the playing surface. Look above and see, and if you will look into the second heaven, he said, you will see that there are more of those that are with us than there are those against us. Child of God, you're going to have to look into the same place. If you focus on what's going on, number one, it's going to destroy your mental health, which will eventually destroy your spirit. And number two, it's going to condition you for what is ahead. And the Bible says that what is ahead is a new world order that will bend your thinking into its system. Now, I want to start off by saying this. What I'm getting ready to say this morning are my convictions. I believe that they are based on Scripture. They're based on what the Word of God says. But anytime I teach or preach such things, I always tell people, you go home and check it out for yourself. You find comfort in what I'm trying to do is lay things out here this morning before you that you can pray about and search the Scriptures for yourself and see if you get the same conviction. I am convinced that what I'm telling you is the truth, or I would not be saying it to you. So let's talk about this new world order for just a moment. And as we do talk about it, I want you to understand something, that the new world order that is on its way is not something new. And I'll describe this in just a moment. There have been new world orders going on since Genesis chapter 11. New world orders have a foundation in fear and a foundation in control. Now, let's talk about the virus for a second. First of all, I appreciate what the elders have done here. I appreciate the fact that they are willing with restrictions to keep us allowing to meet. I think that those that are not here, we bless them, we encourage them, we wish you were here, but we understand why you're not. I think that the idea of wearing masks is a good thing. Nobody can deny that the virus is real. We've had neighbors of ours that have had family members that have died from it. We've had people in the church that have been affected by it. So nobody is denying, and I'm certainly not denying, the reality of it. But I think what we need to be careful about is making sure that we follow the dictates of God and not the dictates of man. Understand what I'm going to say. What I'm getting ready to reveal to you may occur in our lifetime. It may not. If it does not occur in our lifetime, we have a responsibility to know these things because knowing them educates us. Therefore, we can educate our children and those around us. Because if it's not in our generation, it may be in theirs. Now, I have a personal opinion about the timing of all this, but I also am wise enough to realize this, that a pulpit is no place for personal opinion. So I keep my opinion to myself, but I venture in readily to the challenge and the responsibility that I have as a person of God to share with you what the Bible says about the realities that are going to occur, whether it's in our lifetime or in a lifetime to come. So I want to move into that a little bit this morning. Some of you have never understood what the First Amendment of the Constitution says. So I want to read it for you. It says, Congress shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise of religion. So the issue in all this is, The issue is it an order we're given, or is it a choice that we make? As a church, we have leadership. Our leadership has made certain recommendations and even requests of us, and I believe that if the church is going to function properly in these last days, that we need to obey the authority that's over us, and that is our church elders. And when they say the things that they've said, we listen to those things. And I'll tell you this as well, that we have a biblical responsibility to be listening to and tuned in to our government officials. But I will ask you to turn quickly with me to Acts chapter 4, and I'll say this as you're turning there, that we have this responsibility to listen to what our government officials say, and this is a very strong conviction I have, until what the government says goes contrary to what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Now that's not a suggestion, that's a command. And so I believe that the church needs to continue to meet together until the elders would come with the idea that there's an epidemic going through the body, we're going to have to shut down and go back to the computer stuff. I'm not hip on all that tech stuff, but you know what I'm talking about. When they make that decision, that's a decision we listen to. You say, well, now you're getting a little bit carried away here. Don't we have to obey the leaders over us? And I already told you, yes, we do. When they say go 55, we go 55. We don't say, well, we're born again children of God, so we run our cars down Main Street at 90 miles an hour. We obey the laws of the land until the laws of the government run contrary to what the Scripture says. And I want to brace you for something. There's a new world order that is being formulated right now that will cause you to have to make a decision, whether it's us or the generations after us. Are you going to obey God or are you going to obey man? And I'm standing here this morning trying to condition your minds for the reality of this, because this is something that we have not seen before. There's a day coming where we're going to have to decide what we're going to do. Acts chapter 4, verse number 18. Here's what it says, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. Two people represented a movement and stood up to the authorities and said, we will not do it. I want you to know something. For the last 4 years, I prayed for the Trumps and the Pences. Right now, because we don't know what's going on, I'm praying for the Trumps and the Pences and the Bidens and the Harrises, because that's what the Scripture tells me to do. But when the government tells me to stop preaching the name of Jesus or makes a law that is contrary to what the Constitution and, more importantly, the Word of God says, then it's time for believers to stand up and draw the line and say, here's where I'm going to stand. Here's where I'm going to exist. There are places on the face of this earth in this country that have demanded that churches shut down, and some of them have. And you know all the arguments. The church is shut down, but the liquor stores stay open. Planned Parenthood continues to butcher babies, and the government gives them $500 million to keep doing it. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19 says, there are six things that God abhors, seven that are detestable to him, and one of them is those that shed innocent blood. 60 million babies have been killed to abortion. That is not right. And there is no way that God can be involved in that. A third of the prisoners across our country were turned loose, many of them murderers and rapists. And within days after their discharge, they went out and committed the same crimes. Yet a woman like Shelley Luther, who lived in Texas, owned a salon, a single mother, went to work to pay her bills and feed her children. She was arrested and thrown in jail and had a $7,000 fine slapped on her. These things are not right, but listen to me. These things are the way New World Orders work. They motivate with fear, and they complicate the fear with the idea that they will take care of you. In 1 John chapter 4, I'd like for you to turn there. It suddenly really got quiet in here. First John chapter 4. I want to read, I don't have time. I want to read just the third verse, I guess. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Now, let me stop there. Every spirit that attacks the things of God, every spirit that is against the things that God is for and zeroes in on the things that are especially close to the heart of God is what the scripture is calling the spirit of Antichrist. Let me read on. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof you have heard that it should come. And now listen to this. And even now already is in the world. The spirit of Antichrist is the forerunner to a new world order. Let me say that again. The spirit of Antichrist is the forerunner to a new world order. Revelation 13, 7. Turn there with me. Revelation 13, 7. I'm sure some of you came this morning or tuned in thinking we're going to hear a nice Thanksgiving service and worship the turkey and all that stuff. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but this is what I believe God has for us today. Revelation 13, 17. The Antichrist will be given total power, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. That is, that image created within their spirit or on their body. When the New World Order starts, the final New World Order, as I said, there have been many of them down through history. When the final one begins, and it may, what we are seeing with the handling of the government where the coronavirus is concerned, may be the start of the last generation. Maybe it is, maybe it is not. Again, I have my feelings, but we're going to let God reveal what this is all about. When this happens, There will be one that will rise that will have total power, and your life will change overnight. You will not buy, you will not sell. Any place that you go will be given, you'll need to be given permission. You will have the dictates of where you are, when you do things, and you will be monitored everywhere that you go. You say, how can you speak so authoritatively about such things? I want you to know something. That there was a New World Order that attempted to be started in Eastern Europe. I spent more time in Eastern Europe during a period of about 10 years. Seems that I did more time in Eastern Europe than I did in this country, and that's not true, but it seemed that way. When you cross a border, let's just say we're going from Vienna, Austria, in Austria to Hungary. There's an immediate oppression that comes over you. I've taken people over there with me, and I warned them ahead of time, get yourself prayed up, because we're not just going to California, we are going into a satanic stronghold. And not only that, we're carrying beams of light with us, with all these Bibles we've got in the back of our vehicle. We're taking Bibles in to Eastern Europe, and the moment that you cross the border, which was no easy task, sometimes 10 and 12 hours to get across the border, the moment you came across that border, the oppression and the heaviness and the sense of Satan's presence was very real. Now listen, as every New World Order has done, that New World Order that was attempted to be created started off with the promise of prosperity and peace for all citizens. You'll not need to worry anymore. There'll be a chicken in every pot and a car in every driveway. And now, only a few short years later, people that own businesses are now out of business because the government owns their business. You had a house and a farm before? No more. You rent from the government because they took over. When they impose a curfew, and I've said in 15-story high apartment buildings, at 7 o'clock at night, when the government shuts the utilities off in the middle of January and February, their temperatures are just like Minnesota and the Dakotas, and the gas goes off, the lights go off, you sit in total darkness until 8 o'clock the next morning. Then you have 2 hours to cook your food and get ready. This is the oppression that New World Orders lead to. And this is the oppression that Satan is preparing for the final generation. This is the spirit of Antichrist in full force. In every New World Order headship, there were dictators that were arrogant and were absolutely driven to take away the rights of the people to advance their own satanic causes. I was going to say something more there, but I think it best that I don't. I will say this, that our country is being lined up. I want you to know something, that there is an ark of safety. There is an escape. His name is Jesus, but we're going to have to walk in his fullness. If we don't use our freedom to protect our freedom, we're going to lose our freedom. And the way that we protect our freedom is by the church coming together. And listen to me, making a pledge to God, we will be faithful to you till the very end. If we have to say goodbye to everybody, and I'm not trying to scare anybody this morning, but the scripture, I don't have time to go into all this, but the scripture very clearly says that some people will be caused, it'll be necessary for them to give their lives for it. If we're not willing to give our lives for what we believe, we're going to lose not only the freedoms, the individual freedoms that we have, but we're going to lose our souls as well. I'm telling you again, whether it's our generation or generation that is to come, if we don't stand in faith believing, an audacious faith that will not be moved. And church, I want to tell you something, that the trials that you're going through right now, they're not really trials, they're conditioning. What we're going through with this virus is not really, the virus is not really the issue, but us getting ourselves ready for what lies ahead is. I feel it's time for me to stop. But I do want to say this. Our ark is God. The ark that Noah built was provided for him by God. Our salvation and our way of escape is provided for us by God. The ark of Noah, there were warnings that came. Some people obeyed or heeded to them, most did not. It was a limited time offer. We are in a limited time. My counsel to you is to decide who you're going to serve and serve him with all your life. Pray, intercede. Get serious with your walk with God. Spend time in his word. You say, I can't understand it. What do you think you have the Holy Spirit for? He's the one that leads. He's the one that instructs. And finally, I want to say this to you. The Bible says, God has not given to us a spirit of fear, but of peace and power and a sound mind. What does that identify? That identifies that there is such a thing as a spirit of fear. Now, if you're going down Main Street and somebody pulls out in front of you and you tense up, that's not necessarily a spirit of fear. But listen to me. When you are obsessed with fear, you wake up in the night and you're fearful. You walk through the day, you're fearful. Life just doesn't seem to be right. Listen, we live in a world right now that is upside down, but I'm going to tell you that to the child of God, there's a place of peace. There's a place of understanding that he is our supplier. He is the God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills thereof, that he has made a promise he will never leave us and never forsake us. That's what we've got to focus on, and that's what we've got to live on. But there is a spirit that will take all of that out of your mind and all of that out of your heart. And before you leave today, if you have a spirit of fear, I believe that God has sent me in here today to reveal these things to you, and maybe at some time I'll be able to reveal all of it. In fact, I met with the board here real quickly before church began. We have been praying for a long time now, probably longer than we should have, but we feel in our hearts to start a Bible study in our home after the first of the year. And I'm not saying I have all the answers, I don't. But I've learned a lot of things about the end times, and we'll be talking more about that perhaps as we get closer to that time, but there's so much more. But I do want to say this, that we've got to understand who our God is And listen, our God is not in Washington, D.C. He's in heaven. And he provides for us no matter what. If you have a spirit of fear, a fear that is I can't get it under control, it haunts me day in, day out, I believe that God sent me here not only to reveal these things, but to break that spirit over you. And I want to do that this morning. Now, you might be sitting there saying, no way I'm going up there, man. I'm not going to confess I got that. That's the kind of pride that keeps that spirit alive. So, if anybody would like prayer for fear, I encourage you to come on up. Let me pray for you. We'll get this thing taken care of. The preacher's kids made it through service. That's great. We're not going to take any trouble off the devil either, especially right now. Anybody? Okay. That's fine. There may be people at home. So why don't you stand? We're going to pray in agreement together. And I'll hang around up here at the front. If you got something else you want to pray about, come and let me know. We're happy to pray for you about anything. All right? Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
All right. Father, we come to you right now in Jesus' name. And God, I thank you for the liberty you've given me today. I thank you for ears that have been anointed to receive. And Father, I do take authority right now because you gave it to me. You gave it to us to bind principalities and powers. And Father, I take authority over a spirit of fear right now. Amen. And I declare you will not go any further in the lives of these people or the people that are at home watching. You will shut down right now and get out of these lives, get out of these homes, get out of these situations, and go back to hell where you belong and stay there until Jesus comes to judge you. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you. We believe this is done because you said you've given us power and authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. Father, we say amen to what we have just declared, asking it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Can you sing one more chorus with me? Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Oh, hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us. One more time. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Thanksgiving. See you next Sunday.